This is the NetGroup Investments Insights Podcast, where one or more of our experts explore a variety of views and insights that investors care about.
Welcome to another episode of Inside the Mind of a Fund Manager. My name is Anil Jagmohan, Senior Investment Analyst at NetGroup Investments. Today, we're unpacking one of the most fascinating and arguably fragile market dynamics we've seen this year, and that's the explosive rise of AI-related equities, and especially what the recent volatility might be telling us. Joining me is Mazika Lee from NS Partners. She is a portfolio manager of the NetGroup Investments Global Emerging Markets Equity Fund. She will walk us through what's really happening beneath the surface, and perhaps more importantly, how we're positioning our portfolios through it. Hi, Mazika, and thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Mazika, so I guess let's start with the big picture. So over recent months, we've seen a very strong rally in emerging market equities, but I guess it's become increasingly concentrated, particularly in the semiconductors and AI-related names. What's driving this?
Yeah, sure. To unpack that, we might want to take a step back. First of all, with the Iran-US conflict driving inflation up, energy prices up, that's important to a lot of the exporters. And it's also hitting consumer, industrial companies as well. Some, for example, in China, denominated in renminbi, which is seeing strength, having some trouble with the FX. So combination of that, meaning companies just have fewer earnings visibility. Now, when we then focus on the AI names, especially on the hardware components, we've got very strong CSP spending committed to multi-year CapEx. We are seeing margin expansion, ROIC expansion, and DPS upgrades. Despite what we've seen so far year to date in the tech name, actually, on a PE multiple basis, a lot of these tech names are not overstretched. So maybe we can unpack a little bit. But for example, if we look at the Korean market, despite the rally year to date, actually on PE basis is cheaper than it was at the beginning of the year because the largest two companies, Hynix and Samsung, these are memory makers, have grown into their PE and have seen very strong earnings growth.
Thanks, Mazika. And I guess just talking about some of the fragility and potentially what's happening beneath the surface now, please. So it does seem quite clear that markets have become quite extended, I mean, particularly in South Korea, for example. And you've got the leverage, you've got passive flows, you've got momentum strategies, all kind of like reinforcing each other. But at the same time, the macro backdrop hasn't exactly been supportive. I think something you were alluding to just now as well. I mean, how does that all kind of tie in together?
So on the liquidity front, you're absolutely right, Anil. The liquidity condition hasn't been very supportive, except for areas like Taiwan, Korea, and that is driven by very strong exporters. Exporter growth has been extremely strong, I think stronger than anyone has expected. In Korea, not only AI has been strong, they also have the power equipment, defense, shipbuilders, and all these like heavy industrial companies exporting to the rest of the world where there is a supply constraint. So going back to AI, yes, indeed, we are a bit aware, wary of the Korean momentum play and this leverage and the retail enthusiasm. However, on the memory side, one of the reasons why we're focusing on the memory names, because they are the most index heavy weights and we are seeing very strong EPS revisions. Going forward, what we've seen is really one important part of the memory business, which is long-term agreement. These long-term agreements, almost like a call option for these companies, fixing the quantity of memories that, for example, a US CSP such as Google would buy. But on the price side, there's flexibility. There isn't enough clean room available in 2027 for the capacity to extend too much to meet all of the demand. So actually, I think that there's further momentum on the EPS. And as far as we would follow these EPS momentum, and continues to look at new information. So far, we still remain quite comfortable in these names, but we're quite nimble when, for example, in just before the Iran-US conflict, we weren't sure about how it was going to play out. We took some risks, but in late March, we started to add to some of these positions in the AI when the valuation became attractive again. So that's when we enjoyed the rally in the portfolio.
And Mazika, I mean, as you know, we saw a fairly sharp correction early on in June. I mean, what was the trigger for that?
I think a lot of it was linked to the uncertainty around the Fed rates. The market could become a bit too complacent about what that rate would be. And with the Iran war not showing the end anytime soon at the time, some people were a bit nervous. We also have a new Fed chair. We don't know what the direction would be. But over the weekend, we've seen the narratives changing once again with the peace deal coming on. If that's real, then perhaps the inflation concern will drop. And we're seeing a very, very strong rally on Monday again. And on positioning as well, very linked to what your last question was, that there was a lot of leverage position in certain areas, especially in Korea. And I think the correction wasn't necessarily a bad thing that washed out some of these overly leveraged positions for the market conditions, the structure to become a bit healthier.
And Mazika, so I guess one big question that many investors are asking right now. So would you say this is the end of the AI story or just a bit of a healthy reset?
I think we're definitely not in the early innings of the AI cycle. The kind of 2020, when in 2025, we saw very strong earnings upgrades. Started from NVIDIA, we knew that the compute power were getting a lot of orders, and because there wasn't enough, there's still not enough of data center. Coming into 2026, I think this is becoming more of a consensus that this is an area that will see more CapEx and earnings upgrades. I think at this point in time, what we need to figure out is this data center build-out sustainable? Is the demand to be continue to be strong? Is the supply constraint real and continue? Maybe I can unpack it one by one. On the first question, I would look at the token growth and the token usage, and the number has still been going up. And also with the I use Jensen Huang from NVIDIA. He often talk about the more AI compute chips you buy, the cheaper it becomes. Meaning when you use a more advanced chips in your data center, actually you can lower the cost of running the data center. Your token cost could come down. If token costs come down, perhaps the usage will continue to go up. That means more data center needs to be built. And linked to that, as a data center business, GPU rental is a relatively good business. If we look at Amazon, the cloud business is growing quite strongly, 20-30%, and operating margin about 35% from that part. It is accretive to Amazon, for example. I think other CSP can look at that and take notes. And the GPU lifecycle is also longer than expected. We saw some report last year talking about perhaps GPU could only last for 3 years or less because there's a new model coming on every year. But the data has shown that the opposite is true, that GPU lifecycle is actually quite long. So for 5-7 years of depreciation life, actually making a profitable business for the company involved in GPU rental and running data center. My point is that it could still be quite profitable for these companies to invest in the CapEx. And if I take a step back, I think the frontier model labs such as OpenAI and Anthropic, if they can successfully raise the amount of money that they wanted, which is together somewhere close to $900 billion, the US CSPs are likely, this is in my opinion, to follow suit to actually compete because the frontier model labs are actually eating into some of the moat of the incumbent CSP, if you like, in the advertising enterprise applications side of things. So to remain competitive, I think simply that CSPs need to spend more. So on the, this is kind of the demand side. So now I want to link to the supply side. The supply side, we've seen very, very strong bottleneck across the AI supply chain. So all the way up from the substrate, the kind of the chemicals, the circuit boards that goes into the data center, that is putting constraint, and also boundary. This is TSMC, Intel, Samsung, seeing too strong demand in the advanced node. And the mature nodes also seeing stronger demand because of the CPU, which we can go more into about the CPU usage due to the agentic AI proliferation year to date. Foundry supply very, very strong. And then if you link to ASML, which is the only company in the world that can mix these EUV machines that create extremely fine circuit patterns on silicon wafers, they just simply don't make enough of these units to supply to the foundries, so that the on the manufacturing chips side, the foundries supplies are getting strong, very tight. And then we go downstream, packaging, testing, everyone is seeing the same constraint. Going back to my point on the supply, that means there will be some price hikes, there will be more supply constraint, there will be more long-term agreement being signed. All of these points to high price. And I think CSPs, if they just want to buy even the same units of servers, same units like this year, for 2027, the CapEx number is likely to go up. But I think there is a fair question that the investor might ask, how much increase is enough to satisfy the markets? What with the rate of change is decelerating, which I don't think it would be, would that disappoint? I think this is a constant debate that we're hearing.
Thanks, Muzika. So I guess just to summarize then, the AI theme is definitely structurally intact, but markets did become quite crowded, and I guess a weaker macro backdrop did increase fragility. And the recent sell-off, it was just likely a reset, not a collapse. So I guess, you know, most importantly, staying disciplined and actively managing your exposure within the theme remains critical. So Muzika, thank you so much for joining me today. And to our listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Inside the Mind of a Fund Manager. For more insights like this, please stay connected with Net Group Investments.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This podcast is for marketing purposes only. The information contained in the podcast or video was for information purposes and does not constitute advice, recommendation, or an offer or solicitation to purchase or sell any funds or strategies to any person in any jurisdiction in which the offer, recommendation, or solicitation to purchase would be unlawful.